Okay, so that brings us to Rav Moshe. Okay, so we're going to have to skip the Ben Rabbi Yehuda, and let's take a look at Rav Moshe, and we're on page 23. Okay.
It's only 2:15,
sure we don't have to. Yeah. I have five Rav Moshes I want to do. He did. Rav Moshe looked at the Nodavid, no question. Okay.
Rav Moshe learned a for more than 6 hours.
Rav Moshe reviewed it every month, right? Being a Suras Labal, in Sarach Heter Lamei Rabbanim Lisa Acheret. Okay, so the case is, right, so you, people, women who are forbidden to their husbands, Lavinia and Zikoy get, and the question of Get Zikoy, to Rav Baruch Faskovich, the Av Bezin of Rochester. Okay, so your name is Var Kohen Shenasa Gerusha. So you have a Kohen who married a Gerusha. The Acher is Man Nisgarshu Be'arkos. And then they get a civil divorce. Ve'ena wrote to the Kabbal Great Christus, and she doesn't want the religious divorce. Now we have a sympathy plea.
Who Lisa Acheret. Actually, sorry. I might actually know who this Rav Baruch Faskovich is.
Okay, Faskovich, right?
Yes. Who is he?
Well, who he was, I assume, no? This is from Tavshin Tez Zayin. So you probably know his son.
Yeah, but I know that the Rabbi Faskovitz from Queens, his father...
Was Rabbi in Rochester.
His father was Rabbi... He was.
I assume. I said.
I know, because his father was named Chaim Bar.
Okay, very likely. Very likely.
The best one is I had a fairly random book, and so I sent a picture to her of Krauss, and I was like, hey, Rabbi, have you heard of this guy? He's like, yeah, we were roommates in Chaim Bar.
All right. Okay. So Rav Moshe puts in a sympathy plea. Who nachos lisa acheres? He has to remarry. Why does he have to remarry? Ba'asher yesh lo yelad katan me'ishto harishona shemesa. So this is a guy, he's a widow from a first wife, then he marries a grusha. He civilly divorces the grusha. She won't accept a get, and he has a little kid from wife, right? So this happened very rapidly. He has a little kid from wife number one. Wife number two won't take a get. So the question is, in tzarech dafka l'mei rabbanim, do we need a het to mei rabbanim? V'im yichol l'zakos l'get, and right, is it a het there to give her, right, to give her a get by a zikoy, as opposed to a chumrah to require it? So he says, v'nehech sam sofer ibn Ezra simel gimel kasav, the tzarech mei rabbanim, Af bi asura kegrusha lekoin uvezinsa biratzon. So the Chassam Sofer thinks you need hetem rabbanan no matter what, and he gives you the kula chumra argument, right? Kula sheish yisur beish anashim sheish latra le merabbanim hi chumraso dafilu dvar mitzvah deraisa lo hikil dera yachal atzia dvar v'litein chachmei dor v'istarfu kufra rabbanan v'tir achen v'lam no lachal tvei dvar mitzvah. So he is really only interested in that part of the Chassam Sofer. He doesn't deal with any of the pyrotechnics that we dealt with at the end. But he doesn't deal with any of Chassam Sofer's policy claims. He just deals with the underlying logic. Okay. So now, here, Joshua, you want to take over?
Sure. Da lechori shazeh shetzari eich mei rabbanim af shegam rav echad shrui lohora rashei lohorot af bisurim yoter chamurim.
So what's the question?
The question is, why do you need 100 rabbis to give hora'ah in a case of let's say it's a darabanan?
Right, this is a really cool question. Because all along, people have said, you need 100 rabbis. Rav Moshe says, how could you possibly require 100 rabbis? We trust one rabbi's judgment on issues that are straight d'oraisa. Yeah. We trust a bezin of three to be mater woman, in cases where there's no cherim, but we're talking about issues of d'oraisa. Is she divorced? Is she not divorced? Is her husband dead? Is her husband not dead? Right? A regular bezin of three handles that. We let one rabbi decide whether the meat is kosher or treif. So where did this whole idea of 100 rabbis come from in the first place?
He can't just like sneak in. It was built into the gzeira and like roll it down.
So he's going to say, right? But why? You know, but he wants a rationale, right? So we saw in the Chassam Sofer was the introduction of this right? Introduction of a whole set of policy rationales. He didn't really talk about the rationale of the Gzera. The rationale of the Gzera, he did. Klausner said the rationale of the Gzera is either to prevent being mezalzel of Nos Yisrael, right, or Herogel Ketata. And then he created all sorts. Right, then he said, but in, depending whether it's Poshe or not, we have our preference as to whether we want to force him to do the Hetem Meir Rabbanim or not. So if something emerges, what's the point of Hetem Meir Rabbanim? To create inconveniences. Right, it's not, you would think, what is the Hetem Meir Rabbanim? Because this is a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's just a pain. Right, and we could equally well have said, you know, bring me 100 Philistine foreskins. Right, if you want, right, or you know, or show me proof that you right, show me proof that you have drunk from water fountains in each of 5,000 cities. Right, it makes no difference, right? All we're trying to do is
go around the world in 80 days.
Yeah, right, exactly, right, right. All we're trying to do, right? So, right, implicit in the Chsam Sofer, right? He's not explicit, but implicit in the Chsam Sofer is 100 rabbis serve no purpose at all. They're just there to create a barrier. So that's a really interesting way to set up a Xera. Like, why would you do that?
How many more barriers do you know from like getting like 100 rabbis to agree on something?
So it's actually a challenging thing, because what does it take to get 100 rabbis to agree on something?
Money.
Money.
Well, okay, I heard the way Hetzer Meir Rabbanim worked, I don't know, 20 years ago, was basically you would take a case to like, you have the case, you'd have like Rav Shech and Willig signing at the top, and then you go to like an OU convention of rabbis from say, three different countries, and they'd look at the top and say, oh look, if Rav Shech looked at this, and just pass it around.
So I confess, I signed one once on that, I signed under Rabbi Willig. You know, when I really brought one in the base matters, and that's my Rebbe, and I signed it underneath him. But it's still one that you know that tugs at my conscience. But the problem is there's just too many. Probably it's part of the problem. What do you do now if it's just not a barrier anymore, or if the only barrier is money?
Right, so money is even more troubling. I'm like, you know.
Right, so it doesn't necessarily mean money. You know, it's not money to bribe the rabbis. Right, those are the very expensive ones. Normally, it's just money to pay for somebody's time. To present the case, write it up properly, and go present 100 rabbis. The problem is you have lots of public cynicism. And the truth is some cost more than others. And why do they cost more than others? Because sometimes you have to pay two rabbis to write it. You know, I have a grave discomfort with the whole phenomenon of Hetem Meir Rabbanim nowadays, because there are too many rabbis, and people correctly believe it's just the function that if you have enough money, you will be able to. There is a particular Hetem Meir Rabbanim that caused in the America, which is Hetem Meir Rabbanim for a particular Rosh Hashiva, that caused a lot of cynicism in the community. And I don't know the reality of it or not, whether it's just or not. But that sort of when a Rosh Hashiva gets Hetem Meir Rabbanim, right, that makes feel like it's an in group. If you're right, if you will do it for your group and you're not. So I tend to be very resistant. But let's just say right now, the Chsam Sofer said that the rationale is simply it's a barrier, and it's a barrier that we can put up. And essentially what it means is it gives us a certain amount of discretion. If there's somebody who technically could be mutter, but we don't think he should, so we can slow him down. And particularly in the end, probably what he'll do is end up paying his wife to take the get. Right? It'll mean that, you know, that there's a little bit of a safety, you know, that he can't just declare, you know, get one psychiatrist and declare his wife insane and go home, right? It's really just a slowing down mechanism. You might think it's a U.S. constitutional mechanism. The whole goal is to make sure nothing happens. Okay. Now he says, "V'yesh lamar b'shnei t'amim," but you can say that there are two reasons for this. Okay, Davida, do you want to take over?
Sure. "V'yesh lamar b'shnei t'amim." Alash Israel haya b'chol open after shenish tateit, ach hitne shaharei shut b'yad mei rabbanim b'chol adorot, af shehi k'tanim b'chokma b'minyan, ha'atir k'shorim tzorak gadol k'moshen b'nish tateit. Okay, so the Israel...
Keep going, just keep.
Okay. Shalak k'chein, in shayach l'fachot mimea la'atir ma'asha asar rabbinu gershom v'yino g'chirin. כיוון שאינו עניין הוראה לברר מה שמותר, אלא להתיר אחרים בתקנה באופן זו, שאין יכולים קטנים ממנו, אלא מצד שכן התנה. והוא לא התנה, אלא שדווקא מהרבנים יחיה להם הרשות לזה.
Okay, so what did he say here?
Okay, so the first part of what he said is that the iser of, I assume he's talking about marrying someone else, applies even if she's mishtatet. Mm-hmm. But because there's a really big need, so that's why we're going to have any 100 people, even if they're small. So it makes it sound like it's... I mean, because like usually when you want to overcome Xera, you need to have like more important people do it.
Right.
And we're saying here, like, it's the number 100 that's important. It doesn't have to be...
But where does he get this body. Number 100 from? His problem was, why do we need 100 if one is enough for Hora? Right. So his answer is...
They set it up this way.
And this isn't...
And because it's Sarfadol.
And it's not Hora.
Okay.
It's not a halachic decision at all.
This is a mini-undual of the original.
That's
era.
Right. So it's not... Right, if it were a halachic judgment, one rabbi would be enough.
A halachic judgment would be saying, Harem doesn't apply to this case.
Yeah, this is... Right, this is an overrule. Not a judgment. And so... And then they could do whatever they wanted to set it up. But... Right, there's no there's no halachic judgment at all. At best, there's a policy judgment. Do we want to overrule it in this case or not? The halacha is that if you decide to overrule it, if 100 rabbis decide to overrule it, it's overruled. And if they don't decide to overrule it, it's not overruled. And there's no halacha about whether they should decide to overrule it. Right, that's not the issue. Right, you can overrule it if you want to. Now, it might be there's a prior condition. First of all, there's a question about whether you're allowed to overrule it, but that would be one rabbi's decision. Right, is this the kind of case that can be overruled? Once that happens, the 100 rabbis have no judgment about halacha at all. They're simply engaged. They're simply trying to. They're simply voting whether in their opinion this is a good case for overruling or not. Okay, so that's pretty much the underlying thing, and I think this is very important for understanding him, right, is he doesn't buy limits on rabbinic discretion. Right, rabbis have the halachic authority to make decisions. One rabbi can do it. So the only thing is that, right, this is a case where this is legislation, and not, right, this is legislation and not judicial stuff. Okay, and then he gives an interesting proof that in the bolded section that there's a case in the Gemara where it seems like a Beit Din Katon B'Chachma V'Minyan overruled a Takana, and how can that be? It must be because the original Takana built in the right to overrule with a Beit Din Katon. Okay, bet.
Okay. Come on. Shav shelo asar v'nishtatit v'chadomeh d'mistaber yoter. Mishun de mehechi teti asar v'hitnot sheyitiru. Ela hu takana acharen. She'afen ishtatit v'chadome yitzarchu dafka l'horat me'arabanim. Mishun de b'harbe pamim k'sheyitzarich l'tirch ha'kazo v'hutat mamon lo yirshana el yirtzel yisbol.
So what did that say?
Okay, so I think what he's saying is that other possibility... Because I think it's like in contrast to Aleph as opposed to working together with.
Yeah.
But is that... Maybe there are sort of two gzera that are going on at the same time.
Yeah.
The first gzera doesn't apply to a nishtatet of like if you have a wife is nishtatet, then you can actually go ahead and marry someone else. And then there was an additional gzera that was put on top of that to not allow in a nishtatet case also.
But.
Because.
No, but not allow in a nishtatet case except if you have 100 rabbis.
Right. Right. Not allowed nishtatet case except you have 100 rabbis, because the idea is that if you have to go and get 100 rabbis, then you're going to say, not worth it, I'll just stay married to her.
Okay, so now let's formulate. What are the... So, as best you can, right? What's Derech Aleph and what's Derech Bet? Right, he has two approaches, so what's the difference between the two approaches?
Seems to be a lot more what we were saying earlier about being an inconvenience to, and it's focused on the man who is seeking the Heter, as opposed to the first one, seems like it's focused more on the Rabbanim who are giving the signatures on it.
Okay, that's true. Or we can say it differently. He doesn't give you a policy reason in the first rationale, and he gives you a policy reason in the second rationale.
And the second one is also like the difference between Nishtatate and not. Like, is Nishtatate part of that original Xera, or is it something that's separate?
Okay, that's another good part of it. Yes, Josh?
In the second formulation, the point of making the husband go through all this whole process is to... That determines... You know, is this worth allowing him to remarry? I say, like, if it really is impossible to live with someone this crazy, then he will go to all of these lengths to get rid of her. In which case, it was always mutter for him to do so.
In which case, it was always mutter?
Yeah.
I want to hold that for a minute, but I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. But like, I'm saying, like, and if you tell him you have to get 100 rabbis, he's like, okay, you know, maybe I'll just live with this. And I was like, okay, great.
So these are all policy issues. I want to just underline mechanism. What he says is the first approach is that all cases are the same. Right? So all cases are the same.
Yeah, and in Shfield Bait, it's... No, we realize there's like a spectrum of things that can work and things that can't work. And the purpose of the Hetamei Rabbanim is to be mevarer where on the spectrum we are.
So... Okay, but I still want to go one step before that. The first case, the first thing says that basically, for all cases, the result is, it's usser with the tenai that 100 rabbis can be maturit. The second approach says is, all cases are usser, but there's a special tenai in the case of ishtate that 100 rabbis can be maturit. But the way he did that is by saying, no, it's not that there's a special tenai that 100 rabbis can be maturit, is that there's a... It's that the... In the second case, the way we do it is we say that it's us are accepting cases where it shouldn't be, and then in some of the cases where it shouldn't be, right, where it shouldn't be, we also required 100 rabbis. Right, so we'll try it again. For the very beginning, one version is it's us are in all cases, but 100 rabbis, whenever they decide that it shouldn't be us are, they can make it not us are. The second version is it's usser in all is that it's usser in all cases where it should be and mutter in all cases where it shouldn't be. But in some of the cases where it shouldn't be usser, we also require 100 rabbis. So in the first version, there's no case where you don't require 100 rabbis. And the second version, there could be cases where you don't require 100 rabbis.
The first one seems to be just, like, I guess, an echo of the Chasam Sofer, whereas the second one is a significantly more innovative approach.
Much more innovative. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Second one is a much more innovative approach. The first one, right? Because the second one requires, like, a really elaborate thing. It requires a new gzera that you require 100 rabbanim, right? It's not part of the same gzera. It's a new gzera. Right? But the nafkamina is. Again, in the first case, it's all usser. And because it's all, right, but it can all become mutter with 100 rabbis. In the second case, it's never usser where it shouldn't be, but in some of those cases, in addition, even though it's not usser, we require 100 rabbis. Right? So really, another way of framing it is, in the first version, it's always usser until they're matirit. In the second version, it's mutter, but sometimes you also need 100 rabbis' permission.
And then why are they actually doing
it? They're just posing an obstacle.
Yeah. Okay, I guess the question is, is another nafkamina that... The second one seems to say that there are cases where even 100 rabbis won't work.
Is that included
yes. by that?
So it's also true that in the first version, there's no theoretical reason that 100 rabbis can't get together and say, you know what, this guy should be able to marry a second wife because he promised us $1 million. And they have good judgment call, right? Because this $1 million will save day schools all across North America. So, right, Rabbi Nagersha would not have been gozer. He couldn't marry a second wife if the result was closing the local day school. That's a perfectly valid argument in the first one. The second one is not. Because no one ever made a takana that said, it's not makom mitzvah, I know whatever they cut it. They said 100 rabbis can write it. There's no such thing, right? So that's, you're absolutely right. There are cases in the first version where it might now be us or it wouldn't otherwise be, which is where there's no obvious reason to say he wasn't Gozer in that case. And in the second case, there are cases where it's us or where we might say it's us or because there's because of the discretion issue. Of course, what we'll end up saying if somebody offers us $1 billion, right, is we'll say that it's a milsur l'shchicha, and milsur l'shchicha l'gozer b'rabbanan.
Keeping
them
on the horizon.
But then do you even
need the right, no, that's right, that's right. We'll get rid of 100 rabbis.
Yeah, what would you have for lunch at the Yom Yun if you're going
back? Trump steak.
Okay. So now he adds another thing, though, which is really, right, he says, so why would we want to just put in obstacles? Why would we want to just put in obstacles? The Chassam Sofer, if you look at what was the language of Chassam Sofer? Why do we want to put in obstacles? Chassam Sofer said that under such circumstances, what was his language? You remember? What he said is, you know what? In such cases, we say, well, tell him, go make the effort. It's not her, she's not Poshea, go make the effort. Not clear why. But you don't want him to be married, right? So why make him go through the effort? And he's talking about, so we're talking about cases like where she has a physical, right, she's physically infertile. So it's not clear in the end, why should we force him to go through this? Because either we want him to be married or we don't want him to be married. But Moshe says, we're not talking about those cases, we're talking about Nishtates, and here's what he says. Ki yesh harbe inyanei shotim, sheruyim ksas l'ishus, kesherotze l'troach v'lizbol. There are a lot of mishagas that you can live with if you make an effort. Right, I think that's literal translation. Ruhing ksas l'ishus kesherotze l'troach v'lizbol. Right, you can live with them if you make the effort. V'chein b'chol dover sheyesh lahatir mishum delo efshir l'mistar. So every time you want to be matir the cherem because you can't live with it, gazer rabin agershem aragola shelo yaski b'horos achas kechol horos elo dafke mea kedei lahatriach alav b'tircha v'hutza shulai b'shvil ze yachzor miritzonu l'kach acheret v'yodur imzu af shetzarech l'ze tircha v'sevlanut.
Because we really don't like him to marry to wife.
We don't want him to divorce this wife.
Also the beginning.
Because it's not nice.
Yeah. Right. I think that's
the beginning of that formulation.
So it's halachically more preferable for him because this way he's not fulfilling Puruvu, but we still don't want him to do it because it's not nice to wife number one.
No. So let's be careful. So Chassam Sofer used his rationale in the case of no Puruvu. Okay. Rav Moshe is not talking about that. He's talking about people that you can't live with. There's no physical barrier.
Right, and this is what I meant by like there's a biror, a havchana, by making him go through.
Yes, right. It's an ordeal. It's a trial by ordeal.
Right. If you can make it through.
Right. If you're willing to.
In this case, it's justified to I guess have a second marriage.
If you're willing to walk over hot coals, right, in order to avoid being married to this woman, so then yeah, we shouldn't be married to her. But if you're not willing to walk over hot coals, so that means that being married to her isn't as bad as walking over hot coals. Okay, don't get divorced.
So the formulation of Shelo Yaski Behoras, Abe Horas, Echad Yichol Horos, it almost sounds like he was starting on a different idea. Like it's almost like a garden path. It's like a garden path sentence. Like I thought he was like it seems like he was going to go down the road of that. You know, you can't have a blanket heter for this sort of thing because every case is so unique. It didn't wind up like that.
No. He's just bothered by his thing. Horos is something one rabbi can do. So it must be if you need 100 rabbis, it's not a hurrah.
Oh, hurrah asechad.
Yeah, that's right. That's what he's doing. And he's very. And I think you know, the beautiful thing about this is that when you think about it, it's really good. It's a really good argument. What do you need 100 rabbis for? Like you instinctively start to say numbers must be there to add wisdom, but what 100 rabbis don't add, and we look at it and we say it doesn't add wisdom, right?
And those rabbis don't have to be the top in. You know, like what Davido was reading in, I don't remember if it was Aleph or Bet, but it was that they don't, I think it was Aleph, that they don't have to be the greater in Chochmah. It's just that there are 100 of them.
That's right.
But then couldn't someone there's just, like, take 10 students and just give them smicha just so they could do a hetamer
event? I was going to say, like, there is still some sort of bar because we still require rabbis.
Right. Is
so
that
a... saying, like,
yeah, but, like,
take a position to have people on the street.
Well, it's Tom Silver's joke, right? You know, it's attributed to Tom Silver. Why does he have 100 rabbis? Why not tell me that, you know, why aren't telling me that chachamim good enough?
Yeah.
And his solution was rabbis is a kula. Right. So you have to figure out, like, what are the standards? Why not just 100 people?
Yeah.
Right? Who are the rabbis who count? And that generates, you know, it's an interesting thing is if you take this as true, so then, you know, the answer is it, you know, do you want, so some people want to still set up the geographic things because why not? Because the geographic things enhance his judgment because it's just a degree of difficulty issue.
It's how does the internet, like, make things like that a lot?
Right, so internet signatories are obviously cheating. Right, if you put up right, put it on moveon.org, right? petition to free so and so, right? You know, 1,000 rabbis, 100 rabbis have signed on to another petition.
What if it's three out of four of the Arba?
Look, we could say now that you need, right? We might very well say nowadays, if you're doing the equivalent, right, that you need
26 of the 50
saints. Or we say 100 rabbis have to come from the Rabbanut, the RCA, and the IRF.
What about the
good
IRF and the
Rabbanut? I was
going to
say.
Well, that's all right. That makes it really the green definitely, right? Because they're all agreed that right, they want to agree to have their saints on the same piece of paper. And is it indeed they have to be on the same piece of paper because you have 33 rabbis?
Plus three chavash shlichim in three different countries.
Yes, right. There we go. Right, we could.
And nothing in North America counts.
So this is definitely, I mean, look, you understand the process of halakha issue is, so we have a question where this Rav Moshe claims there's a formal reason. That formal reason doesn't work nowadays because it's really easy to get 100 rabbis, perhaps. So the reaction to that is, how have we solved that problem? By creating rabbis who refuse to sign no matter what. So for example, Red Chovei, right? Apparently it's a condition, right? You're, graduates of Chovei are not allowed to sign Hetamei Rabbanim.
Two pro men.
I'm gonna leave that right. That's just one of the.
Wait, that's interesting because
like they can't think of any situations where it really is actually warranted.
It's exera.
They want to make it. They want to make it like equitable.
Or they think it's corrupt. It's exera, right? That it. Yeah, I mean, to make it equitable, the same rights or Ben-Gur Gershom style equity, right? Where you create barriers to the other. Right. You create barriers to the other party as opposed to loosening the barriers.
That's true equality.
Well, it means that often what happens in a divorce case is right is that blackmail will happen because each side wants to get, but what they think the other side will fold first because the consequences are worse. So you make the consequences equal, and that way they won't start the whole right. That's it's not a terrible public policy rationale, but that's what happens, right? Because it got overused and it got too easy. So now you have lots of people who won't sign. And so that's what happened, right, when somebody came to us this summer and asked for it, and, you know, it said, you know, it takes time and money. Because people aren't just willing to sign anymore. Right, so it might be and then the answer is, of course, it is possible to get 100 rabbis, but does it really matter which 100 rabbis?
Well, people, why can't it be just people who just became rabbis right then, because someone wanted more rabbis?
So it could be halachically, but socially... Maybe it won't work. People look at you and say that was cheesy.
Your kids won't be on Zayrim, but like... I have a question for you.
Yes.
Is it better to have YCT rabbis not sign a Hetamei Rabbanim, or is it better to have Maharats sign a Hetamei
Rabbanim? Bye-bye. Just
bye-bye. I'm not going to take that one. Okay. So he says... So now he says, V'im Kain. But it's a really important line here, right? The notion that, and it relates that there are conditions where it's really plausible that someone can't live with it, but it doesn't mean that no one could live with it.
Yeah, but don't you have to go like baladata
etzakolada? It's not etzakolada, right? There's a condition where, you know, so what, 75% of people couldn't live with this. But you have to prove that you're one of the 75%, or that you're, or just, you know what, if you're going to decide not to live with it, we're going to make you suffer a little bit. Because you're not really a great person. But on the other hand, we don't really want to force you to live with something. It's a bad thing. You shouldn't want to live with something you don't want to live with. But you should know you're a bad person. that's, but this, like, you know, I'd say that experienced personally and then watching on Beit Din, you know, that's a really big thing. What things should people have to live with? And people live with things that you would say that, that you would say to them, there's no reason you have to live with this, but they're great people if they live with it. But then the question is, but you can say Mekach Tovos, right? That's a really rough, you know. I think Mekach Tovos, you think of the commercial, you know, standpoint, there are things, Mekach Tovos is one where we reasonably presume that a person, had they known about, that a reasonable person would probably change their mind in reaction to the certain, you know, the notion that it's an absolute is a real problem. It makes it almost impossible to do it. And I don't think that's the correct standard. Mm-hmm. People live with things all the time that they don't have to live with. And that they could, you can say that, you know what, if you're committed to that, it's because you have, again, you made a decision with the information. It's a new decision. It's not just that you're sticking to your old decision. Okay. Zim Cain. Kol Shekein Shetirch HaGedolah, right? So we find that people, sometimes, you know, people change their minds about what they want under pressure. So too, this kind of great trouble and money that comes out to get ahead to Meribanim will cause people to rethink it. So part of the challenge here is that Rav Moshe thinks that the money is part of the barrier. So if I charge somebody $10,000 for Hetzimei Rabbanim, right, as opposed to $2,000, that's not because I want the money. It's because Rav Moshe says that the money has to be a barrier. And if I do it cheap, then I won't be fulfilling the purpose of the takana. And probably proportionally, I should charge, right, if he's a millionaire, I should charge him $500,000.
Well, I might have missed this, but the money is specifically to pay the rabbis or just to contact the rabbis?
So I just find it from a Moshe's. I could argue that from a Moshe's perspective, part of the purpose of Hetzimei Rabbanim is it has to be expensive. Now it used to be expensive because people had to travel, and travel was expensive. And right, but now it's not. So maybe I just have to charge more upfront.
This summer, someone spoke to us and said he charges $3,000.
Yes, yes. That was cheap, and that's because he has a justice feeling, right? He should really do this. But maybe according to Moshe, that's wrong, and he should charge more.
So theoretically, if everybody did that, every single person who signed, it would be another $3,000 from the person?
Well, we could set it up that way. Usually it's not. Usually the one person gets paid, and that person goes around and gets the gets the names. And it takes them a lot of time. You know, let's say it takes 2 hours of conversation. Let's suppose if you want serious people, that means you want them to listen to the case. So you want to spend an hour on the phone with each of them, and that's 99 people.
And you have to go to them and get them
signed. And so that maybe you can mail it, but if it takes me an hour on the phone to have a really serious conversation with 99 other people, that's 99 hours of my time. If I'm a lawyer, that's $30,000 minimum.
Why can you mail to them if you couldn't get them signed on the internet?
I say, because the point is that the people I want to have signed are people who actually want to understand the case. They shouldn't just read my paragraph. So I'm going to have to spend an hour on the phone with them. But well, if you ask me, right, 99 hours should cost minimally $10,000. If you're only charging $3,000, it probably means that most of them are just signing. Right? Or that you are donating $10,000 of your time, which is against the purpose of the takana. Right, although we can then say sliding scale. You know what? You should charge $10,000 for takana for a term that don't really convince you.
Because kind of like a real economic
thing. Right, we could have a future market, right, where people vote about how convincing this case is, and the cost goes up depending on it as a test of the right. Those are all perfectly viable models, but you know, which probably wouldn't do in halacha because of a sleaze factor. but to recognize the way Moshe sets it up, that's not unrealistic. That's not ridiculous. Okay. Says Vinei Latam Habet, Ein Makom Lomar Shegazer Rabbeinu Gershon Maragola Gam Basura Solav Sheis Tarech Lemei Rabbanim. So he thinks the chap of this is the second mechanism. In the second mechanism, we say is Rabbeinu Gershon made the gzera only in places where there should be a gzera, and then in some of the places where there shouldn't be a gzera, he put in a barrier. So there's no rationale for thinking that he would legislate a barrier in cases where the wife is a sura to the husband. Okay, he never made the first gzera. It's only a question of whether to create the barrier. So he never created, right? So there's no reason to say that. Why? Kevin the ad rabban achnu mechuyavim lachufam l'shiyifroshim hena ve'ech na'aset takanot lachbidolav k'dei she'achzor v'yadorima. So this is a great argument. We want him to divorce. If he said, no, I won't divorce, we would beat him. So what sense does it make to say, we're going to compel you to divorce, but we're not going to let you divorce unless you pay $3,000.
Hmm.
Right? That's ridiculous. The first way we could say, aha, he made exera to all cases, then he gave discretion. So this is one of the cases. Maybe it's an obvious case, but he still required discretion. But the second way, he never made the exera. Right, so that's Rav Moshe's argument, that in the cases where there's an isser, there's no right. So it's not about the woman's fault. It's a question of whether there's an isser or not.
Why would Rav Gershon ever make a gzeira in a case where there's an isser?
Good question. So we could just say loplug. Loplug.
Between an isser and a not isser.
He didn't want to separate which cases. So you might say, okay, isser isn't easy. Is an easy case, but then we get in the cases of suffic isser, and right, and what kind of isser? He just didn't want to bother. Right, because this is what Rav Moshe is going to say. Okay, says the afshira shai legarsha bal korcha. Ah, but even though we should say, okay, so let him still. Why doesn't he require a heter rabbanim? Heter rabbanim in all, mayor heter rabbanim in all cases of bigamy. And just say that, but you know what? If he has a problem, let him divorce her against her will without a meir rabbanim. So Rav Moshe says, you know what? There are going to be cases where that's not true. There will be cases where that's not so. Where she's not available or she's not competent, I guess. It says, right? He just didn't want to make distinctions. Lo plug. The kevanch afsha asuralo. Right, therefore, sorry. The kevanch afsha asuralo, kevanch kedushin tov. Since there are cases of iser where nonetheless they really are still married, harayu lo shtei nashim kishisa acheres amuteres yibichal agzera. Any case that leads to bigamy is still aser. Why? The me'achers din isui isha acheret lo yitaknu klum ba iser shel rishona. So this is a very clever argument. He says, what's the issue? He has a wife who is usher to him, who he should divorce. So let's let him marry somebody else. What does that help? He still has a wife who's usher to him. So he says, and again, there's no reason not to make the gzera in that case. Because a second wife isn't going to solve the problem that he has to get rid of this wife. So why not require 100 rabbis to let him marry somebody else? Because we don't really care.
Then it comes back to the inconvenience factor.
Yeah, right. But say, you want to say, don't do that, right? We wanted to divorce, so why require 100 rabbis to marry somebody else? So what? We don't care whether he marries somebody else. We care about whether he divorces this woman. Letting him marry somebody else isn't going to make him more. Unless you're going to tell me that he's a Russian and he's going to sleep with her anyway. Right, we're not worried about that. Okay. Right. So he says. So therefore, Rabbeinu Gershom lohuchar Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom lahotzi shloyu asuras bichal iser d'shtei nashim. He didn't need to remove the usher wives from the gzera. V'nishar rak mashu lo torech gadol shetzorech lekayim pruvu. But he's just left that he needs pruvu. V'gam shasher lo lios b'lo yishu, and also that men aren't allowed to be unmarried. Shu kamo kol torech gadol, which is like any great need. That's why he requires 100 rabbis. But he thinks that's probably not true. But he thinks Pashup Shah Rabbeinu Gershom always, everyone agrees Rabbeinu Gershom didn't intend to asur such cases. Because he says, Zibishlam nishtates vichadome shlo borer kol kachatzorech. So there you go. What, anyway, if your wife is insane, well, you know what? Sometimes you can live with insane people, and sometimes they get healthy. So therefore, we need 100 rabbis to decide in each case whether it's necessary. But if they're usher, and it's absolutely clear. Why should he do this? Because what's his proof? And he says the proof of this is that everyone agrees that in a case of Asuros, that we don't require Mei Rabbanim to be Megarish Bal Korcha. So right, that's his given, and that Bal Korcha, that Asuros Bal Korcha doesn't require Mei Rabbanim, and therefore Pashtus, we shouldn't require it in other cases as well. Okay, so the outcome of this, he says, is V'lechein, we're skipping the whole long, the small print.
Wait, so I just want to make sure I'm following. So he's basically now bringing the Heter Mera Banim into the being Megarish Bal Korcha. Also.
No, he says that everyone agrees that yes, he thinks that sometimes he had a better Bal Korcha, but not when she's Asuras.
As opposed to the Chatam Sofer, who thinks that when you're talking about Girish and Bal Korcha, the Heter Mera Banim is just irrelevant.
But then he put it back in, right, as a policy judgment.
Okay. At the end.
Right.
I thought that was with the Get Zikois, though.
No, he put it in as, even when we could be Matir Bal Korcha, right, we would require Heter Mera Banim for Lisa Shteinashim anyway.
Right.
Right, so Rav Moshe seems to...
He's saying if you can do the Get Zikois, we'll still, like...
Yes. We'll still force you to use Heter Mera Banim. Yeah. Even if you could be Margarish Bal Korcha, we'll still force you to... Yes, Rav Moshe seems to assume that for a case which wasn't Malka Mitzvah, you would probably still require Mei Rabbanim for Bal Korcha.
Okay. And also, or not require, meaning, because I feel like if it's not Malka Mitzvah, you would be kind of stuck.
Or maybe there'd be nothing. Maybe there'd be no way out of it.
And the other thing is, just to clarify, so basically what we're kind of set, I feel like what comes out of these two cases is that there are sort of two results that can happen from needing to go and put in all the tircha from...
From
marrying the second person, that sometimes we'll say it's a lot of tircha, so you're going to end up saying, let me just get divorced to the person I'm married to now, so I can just go ahead and marry the second person. And sometimes we'll say it's a lot of tircha going to find a new person, so I'll just stay with the first wife.
Uh-huh.
And you get like opposite results, and then depending on what the case is, which one is the one that we want to happen or not.
That's right. Rav Moshe says that we just use 100 rabbis to get you to do what we want.
Right, so it's not necessarily going one way or the other, but it's just to do one or the other option.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. But I think that's the Rav Moshe's big innovation is to get the 100 rabbis exclusively into the realm of policy. That's all what it is, right? It's just a question of what do we want to accomplish, and then he invents this thing which we have not seen somewhere. He thinks there is a where the original language we had was being mezalzel with Mos Yisrael, right? Berevi Bav, right? That it was. Right, he's not talking about zilzel. He's talking about a much more subtle social policy things, that there are marriages that should go on, but we don't know which of them should go on and which of them shouldn't. So we make it hard to divorce.